born in Prestonwood. I'm so glad you're here today. Let's stand and worship together. So good to see all of your faces. It's a beautiful day. Let's sing. He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break. His broken hearts declare his grace. Who can stop the Lord?
Prestonwood family, I want to introduce you to Ella Essie. Ella, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I did.
Because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this young lady is Jordan Kim. Jordan, are you following Christ in baptism because you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
because of that public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his command, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen.
Amen. It never gets old. We celebrate. We celebrate people who are starting their relationship with Christ and making that public to the church family. We celebrate the lives that are going to change today as well. Man, we're excited and expectant about what God's going to do this morning. Well, my name's Caleb. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome to Prestonwood. Is everybody doing good this morning? It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. If you're a guest, welcome. You're a part of our family today. We want to make sure that you get your questions answered. We want to learn more about you, learn your name, where you're from. Whenever you leave today, right outside these doors, you'll see the sign for Guest Central. Make sure you stop there and just say, hey, this is my first time. I'm new. We have a gift for you. We have one of our pastor's books we want to give you. Answer any questions that you may have about our church. We have a ton of folks who are joining us online as well from around the state, around the country, around the world. More and more and more people every single week calling Prestonwood their home, and we welcome you today from wherever you're worshiping as well. And today, we have a gift for every single person here. If you have been here for a while, maybe you've been a member of Preston for a little bit, or if you've tuned in to our midweek connection services, no doubt you've heard from Scott Turner, who's been a member of Prestonwood for a long time. Scott's done everything. Yeah. Pastor Scott's done everything from professional football to working with the president in D.C. and everything in between. I don't know how he pulls it all off, but now he's a part of our teaching team here at Prestonwood. So here in just a little bit, we're going to welcome Associate Pastor Scott Turner to the stage, and you're going to be blessed through what God has to say through him. We're pumped to hear from you today, Pastor Scott. But before we do that, we're going to continue in worship. God, we're so grateful. We're grateful to be in your house, and we are expectant. We're expecting miracles this morning. Broken hearts to be healed. Lives to be drawn closer to you. God, we pray that you do only the things that you can do. Do the things that you are famous for, God. We love you. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
Let's sing that together. There's no fear.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the wall. Never fail. Your name is powerful. Your words unstoppable.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
Sing it with us.
Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. Your work is finished, the end is written. Oh, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Jesus, yours is the victory.
We're so thankful today. Our living hope, His presence is here with us today. We'll hold nothing back. Our songs, our worship, our attention, our praise, our gratitude, our resources, everything offered back to Him in a life given in a big thank you and praise to our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen? Amen. You guys can have a seat.
Your faithful giving is helping our ministries continue to reach the hurting with a message of hope. For your convenience, we have various safe and easy ways to give. You can text GIVE to 74788. Download the Prestonwood app on your mobile device and click GIVE. During the service, a giving link is provided in the chat below. Visit prestonwood.org/give or mail a check to Contributions, Prestonwood Baptist Church, 6801 West Park Boulevard, Plano, Texas, 75093.
Church family, my husband Brian and I love the privilege that we have here at Prestonwood to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Scripture says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and I think He loves a cheerful worshiper as well. So we bring it all. We bring our gifts, we bring our giving, we bring our worship. Amen. Because He alone is worthy. As we sing this next song, Oh What a Friend, I just want to invite you to reflect upon the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. Allow Him to stir up to our minds, to your remembrance, moments of His faithfulness. And let's offer that along with our worship, our songs, as praise before our God this morning. Amen.
You have to God in prayer. Oh, everything to Jesus, our babies, our homes, Lord, our jobs, our kids, our parents. Ooh. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh,
how's everybody doing? Can we give a good praise to the Lord? And thank you to Caleb and Michael Neal and our worship team. Thank you so much. Well, my name is Scott Turner, and I'm so happy and honored to be with you this morning. You know, I grew up not too far from here in Richardson, Texas, and went to J.J. Pierce. And so to stand before you this morning is a great honor and privilege for me, and I want to thank Dr. Graham for allowing me this opportunity to share with you this morning. We're going to be talking on the subject of running to win, running this race with Christ to win. And it's my prayer today that this message would challenge and encourage each of us in our walk with Christ. And if you do not yet know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you're here in church today with us or fellowshipping with us online, if you don't know Jesus, it's my prayer that today is your day and that you would know him for yourself. And so we come together both in-house and fellowship and worshipers online, and we thank God for this opportunity. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 24, and just hold your place there. And when you get there, like they say in the old church, say amen. For context, here we are in 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul took 3 missionary journeys to Corinth. And on his second missionary journey, he established the church. And he wrote at least 2 letters that we know, that we find in 1 and 2 Corinthians. The church in Corinth was a very complex church. There are a lot of issues going on in the church there. They were spiritually immature. There was division amongst the believers. There was disorder in the worship service. There were lawsuits going on in the church. There was perverse immorality. And in the region, there was an overflow of pagan worship and pagan mentality that even overflowed into the church. And so, to say the least, it was a mess. And the Apostle Paul, oftentimes we find that his language or his tone to the church there in Corinth was sometimes harsh because he was constantly challenging them in their walk and their witness to Christ. And in the days of Paul, the city of Corinth, it was a capital of a Roman province in southern Greece. It was a major commercial hub, but the city was destroyed by the Romans. And about 100 years later, Julius Caesar, because of the strategic location of Corinth, he reestablished the city, and it became a great shipping port, if you would, for controlling the trade on ground between Rome and Asia. As a result of this great industry, Corinth attracted an extremely diverse population and people group. The city became very wealthy, and it was known for its arts, its culture, its architecture, and yes, its sports. In particular, the famous Greek games which was second only to the Olympic Games. And see, the Corinthian believers, the people in the church, were very familiar with these athletes. They were very familiar with this competition and with these games. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you look at your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as we have our context, you know, let's start in verse 19 and kind of get a running start into our text. Verse 19 says this, "For though I am free from all," this is the Apostle Paul, "I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew. In order to win the Jews, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law." Verse 22, "To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. And I've become all things to all people, that by all means that I might win some." How many know Paul had a focus and a mindset to win people to Christ? He said, "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing." Now, here we go. Here's our text, verse 24. "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Let's go back to verse 24. He said, only one receives the prize. Paul was talking of the competitive nature of the games. Every runner that came to these Greek games understood that there was competition. They understood that they weren't the only ones in the race. And Paul uses this, and as I look at this, we as Christians need to understand we're not competing against each other as Christians, but there is an adversary that we compete against. There is competition that wants to come against us. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and be sober-minded, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those that he can devour." And so we cannot, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, take our walk with Christ for granted. There is an adversary. Amen? And Paul here, he was encouraging the church. He said, look, run in such a way as the victor runs. Run in such a way as these athletes run. They run to win. Not just in a sense to be there in the theater and enjoy the festivities and to take in the crowd and to say, hey, I'm part of the race. That wasn't the mentality that they had. And oftentimes in our walk with the Lord, we too can be tempted to just be all right with being a Christian, to being weak-minded, to being comfortable, not really wanting to make too much noise, not really wanting to ruffle any feathers, just to be okay and comfortable. Don't get in anybody's way. Just stay in my lane, if you will. Stay in my own little world, to stay in my space. And sometimes as believers, we're not even willing to fight to overcome temptation that comes our way because we're just in the race. But God has not called us to live in such a way. He has not called us to this type of living. He's actually called us to be more than conquerors, to live victoriously in Christ Jesus. Y'all, there's people all around us every day in all of our spheres of influence that don't know Jesus. They're living without hope, living in constant fear and anxiety and despair and discouragement. And God has called each one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has commissioned us to be ambassadors, to be voice pieces, to be advocates, to be witnesses of Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel, to speak the truth in love, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our generation, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in your workplace, in your school, in your neighborhood, wherever it is that God is calling you, you are the hands and the feet, the ambassador, if you will, the voice piece for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's not comfortable all the time. It's not. It's not easy. In particular, in this culture today that they are calling this cancel culture. Y'all heard of that? See, there are those that want to suppress the voice of believers, to suppress the voice of people of faith, people that want to take the church and take God out of the public square, to remove the influence of the church. That's the cancel culture. Well, for the record, try if they may, but you can't cancel God. He's the almighty God. See, he's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the end from the beginning. The Bible says that he's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere at one time. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not shy away. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. The council culture does not abide or apply to us as believers because we serve God Almighty. We're his ambassadors. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And see, we know the real truth. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it saved my life. How about you? We shall not keep this good news to ourselves. Amen? God's not concerned with our comfort. He wants our full obedience. Verse 24 says, "So run." Paul is saying, in the same manner as the athletes with great strain and effort and output and energy. He metaphorically is using the athlete as an example to challenge the Corinthian believers and, yes, to challenge us today to put everything that we've got into our faith, everything we got into our walk with Christ, to our service with Christ, our life with Christ, and our service to others. Don't just go halfway, church. Don't just live this life with Christ with just a little effort, with just enough to get by. We are calling, this is a clarion call to sell out for God, to be all in for him. People's lives around us are counting on it. See, these athletes were very disciplined. They would abstain from, yes, the bad things, like criminal behavior, sensual and unkind behavior. See, these were some bad boys. They weren't the guys that you would take home to mama. These boys were bad, but because they were disciplined, because they wanted to compete, they would abstain from the bad things and even the legitimate things they would abstain from. Those things that maybe weren't wrong, maybe weren't sinful, but could cause them a hindrance in their preparation. How many know us about the little things in your life? They would abstain from these things. And I thought to myself, this begs the question, what about us and our walk with Christ? Are we giving it everything that we have? Are we putting forth great effort? Are we spending time in the Word of God? Are we spending time in prayer and fellowship with other believers? Are we laying aside everything that may be a hindrance to us? Not just the sinful things, not just the things that are bad, but maybe even the legitimate things, those things that aren't the best for you. The Bible says that all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. Are you disciplined enough in your life to lay even those things that may seem legitimate down because they're causing a hindrance to you in your walk with Christ, or maybe they're a stumbling block to others that are around you. They might not be sinful, but they're keeping others from coming to Christ. Are you willing? Are you willing and disciplined to lay even those things down? That's the question. Like for me, it's ice cream. I know ice cream is not a sin, but you can't eat it every day. Little things, it's legitimate. But it's a hindrance in my discipline, in my walk with Christ. Verse 25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. See, it's noted that these athletes would train for a period of 10 months with extreme discipline, abstinence, strict diet, exercise every day. They had a very, very rigid program that they followed in order to prepare themselves for the race. And they did it for a perishable wreath. They would train all this time and get a wreath that was made of wood, a crown made of wood that they set on their head that would soon wither away and die. And maybe they even had bragging rights in the neighborhood for a little while, but even that would be forgotten soon. But we as believers in Christ, we do it to get an imperishable wreath. Paul is not talking about salvation here and eternal life with Christ. That cannot be obtained just by sheer discipline and abstinence and self-denial. Jesus Christ paid the price. He earned that for all of us by shedding his blood on Calvary's cross. See, salvation and eternal life is a gift given to us, to those who believe. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. You can't deny yourself enough to earn your way into the kingdom. You can't abstain from enough to earn yourself eternal life. Jesus paid the price by his blood on Calvary's cross. It is a gift of God that is given to us that believe, not by works, so that we cannot boast. Jesus paid the price. Amen? And so Paul is talking here a life of service to Christ, of service to others, to win others to Christ, to live as a godly example and be a witness for him in our walk with the Lord. Paul said, I don't run aimlessly in verse 26. He said, now I'm going to turn it on myself. I'm not just beating the air. He's living with determination to win and to fight for people's souls to know Jesus. He's living with a purpose and with a vision for the mission. In our time today, in America today, in our world today, I am very concerned. We have many people, believers alike, that are living as if they have no purpose, that are living as if they have no mission in life. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraints. See, when we don't have vision, anything goes. When we don't have vision, there's a lack of discipline in your life. There's a lack of integrity and humility, godly humility in your life. When you lack vision, when you wake up in the morning, what are you striving for? When you lack vision, when you wake up in the morning, are you tempted by the enemy or tempted by the flesh? How do you overcome? When you lack vision, anything goes. Now, I know y'all not helping me because you're quiet, but I'm going to preach this anyway. You can't lack vision as a believer in Christ. You have to have a mission for which you are living. Proverbs 29:18 says, when there is no vision, people cast off restraints. We become the God of our life when we have no vision. We sit on the throne of our life instead of the true God, our Father in heaven, being the God of our life and taking his rightful place on the throne of our life. We have to die to ourselves and live unto him. Are y'all with me? Amen. Die to yourself. Don't be afraid to crucify this flesh man. Right. Don't be scared. Die to yourself. Live unto God. Crucify the flesh. Feed the spirit. Whatever you feed, your flesh or your spirit, whichever one you feed the most, it will win. Are you with me? Must have a vision. Paul said, I discipline my body in verse 27 and keep it under control. You know, I was reading this and it reminds me one part, we don't talk about it a lot, one part of walking with Jesus, when you're talking about discipline, when you're talking about having a right mentality, when you're talking about having a vision, one part of our walk in Christ is being disciplined in our body. Paul said, I discipline my body and keep it under control. I beat my body into submission, in other words. And I was talking to my wife, Robin. I said, you know, we have the ability to make our body, to be disciplined in our body. Our body doesn't discipline us. We discipline our body. This is the temple that God gave us. One thing I've learned, and this is me, when I'm disciplined in my body, when I'm disciplined in the things that I put in my temple, my mind is clear. When I say no to the flesh and yes to God, I hear him clearer. When I bring my body under submission, when my body is saying yes and my spirit says no, I hear God more. I see his word more clear. Are y'all following me? Paul said, I discipline my body. Now, I know everybody don't want to hear this. We live in Texas. We like to eat. We like to do all of those things. I get it. But yesterday, when I was working out, now, y'all, I just turned 49 years old. I don't like to work out like I used to. But I was running these stadium steps or these steps in the parking lot that just seemed like it just kept going on. I'm like, where is the end? Well, I'm working out and I'm hearing and I'm praying and I'm hurting and my knees are sore. But I kept hearing Paul said, I discipline my body. I said, why did I read that scripture? But it's a great encouragement to bring your body under submission. Take care of your temple. As we look at these texts and we dissect the word of Paul, I wonder, how's your race going? How you doing today? What are you running for this morning? What is the purpose for which you are running? And I just want to share just a few points to help us to run to win. Number one, you got to take inventory of your life. Take an honest assessment, if you will. Is there anything in you that's keeping you from walking closely with Christ? See, when you take inventory, you have to be honest. What are those things that are holding you back? Or being a hindrance to you fully walking with the Lord. Psalm 139, 23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. Now I know none of us like to get searched. We don't like going to the airport and seeing TSA. We thank God for them, but we don't want them touching us. We don't want you to search our stuff, our body. But here, we're talking about God, search me. Oh, God, lay me on the surgery table of your deliverance and find in me what's keeping me from serving you, from honoring you, from walking with you. What's a hindrance in my life when God says, hey, you have lust, you have pride, you have anxiety, you have fear, you have idolatry, whatever it is in your life, Lord, search me and take it away. But the key is, when he shows you, you have to give it to him. You have to let it go. If it's a hindrance in your life that's keeping you from walking with Christ, whether you're young or whether you're older, your life, your race with Christ is still going on. So if something is keeping you, if something is weighing you down, let God have it. Turn it loose, like my grandmother used to say. But you have to be willing. You have to be obedient. And it all depends on how serious you are with your walk with Christ. Number two says, firm up your commitment to Christ. If you want to run to win, firm up your commitment to Jesus. 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless or fully committed to him. For the eyes of the Lord are searching. He's running throughout the earth to find someone whose heart is fully committed to him. Why? So he can show himself strong on your behalf. For God's eyes are searching. And when the Lord's eyes are fixed on me, I want the Lord to say, I don't have to look any further because your heart is fully committed to me. I can show myself strong in you, Scott, because you're committed to me. I can trust you. I can use you for my glory. What about you? When God's eyes fix on you, what does he say? Does he say, oh, there he is. He's fully committed. There she is. She's fully committed. I trust her. I can use her. I can lift her up to bring me glory. What does he say when he fixes his eyes on you? Firm your commitment up. Know who you're walking with. See, God made the ultimate sacrifice. He gave us his only begotten son. He knows everything about commitment. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those that believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He gave his all to us. What are we willing to give to him? Are you committed? Number three, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says, look unto Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Church, we don't have to look to the right or to the left. So many things come at us and to us to draw us away and to distract us from fixing our eyes on the Lord. The temptation of the world, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life can draw us away, can tempt us, can get us off base, can distract us. But like these athletes that Paul was talking about, these victorious competitors, Paul's described them, we must stay focused and disciplined in the Lord. Don't let your eyes run here and there. Fix your eyes on Christ. When we fix our eyes on Jesus and we commit ourselves to him and follow him, fulfill our call in him, we have everything we need. Amen. Psalm 121 says this, I will look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. When I was in high school at J.J. Pierce, I played football. And I also ran track. Raise your hand if you ever ran track before. Or saw somebody run track. Good. I had a track coach. I was primarily a 100 and 200 meter runner. You know, I'm not a big guy, but I was fast. And that's the gift God gave me. And I love to run the 100 and 200. But my track coach, Coach Pruitt, I love him. But every now and then, he would make me run the 400 meter dash. Now, if you know anything about track, see, back in the day, it was a 440 yard dash. But then it became the 400. I hated the 400, by the way, just for the record. But Coach Pruitt, we'll say you're going to run the 400 because it's a special meet. And I would whine and complain. I said, no, coach, I don't really want to run the 400. I ran a 10-1 in the 100. Let me be that guy. He said, no, you're going to run the 400. And he says, in order to get you prepared for the 400, you're going to practice running 550 meters. He said it will strengthen your stamina. It will prepare you and make you mentally strong. It will increase your endurance. And so he would put me on the track and make all the other kids sit down because it was about to be some pain inflicted on their friend. And so I would line up And as I looked around the track, there were cones set out every 50 meters. And Coach had a whistle. He said, every time I blow this whistle, you better be at that cone. And he said, in order for you to run an extremely fast time, you have to be at the cone by the time you hear the sound of the whistle. Now, 550 meters is one entire lap plus 150 meters. He said, because you have to learn to finish strong. And so I would line up, church, and all I would hear him say is, go. And I would take off. It was a cool February or March afternoon, kind of a cool breeze. People standing on the fence watching me be tortured. All the other athletes sitting down praying or laughing, whatever they were doing. And here I am, and I'm running. And all I hear is the cool breeze and my feet hitting that cinder track. And every now and then I would hear that whistle. And I had to be at that cone every time I heard that whistle. And when I got to that cone, it encouraged me to go to the next cone. And when I hit that cone, it encouraged me to go to the next cone. And sometimes I would be behind the cone and the whistle would blow. And what would it do? It would make me dig deeper inside so that the next cone I'm not behind. Are y'all following me? And I did this for 550 meters. It hurt. I could still feel the pain. I could still hear the whistle in my head. I love Coach Pruitt, and I hope he's watching this. But I would run. It was just me, Coach Pruitt, and the Holy Ghost. And I needed him. But every marker, I would do the best I could to hit it. And every step I took on that track and at 550 meters, I would get stronger and stronger, mentally, physically, spiritually, because you better know I was praying and calling on God. And when I got to the end of that race and I hit that finish line, Coach Pruitt, in his sweet, kind, soft voice, pat me on the back and say, good job. I just went through the hardest thing in my life. I say all that to say, just like Coach Pruitt said, this is going to hurt, but you're committed so you can do it. He said, this is going to cost you something, but your competition, they're not doing this. This is going to bring about pain in your life for just a brief moment, and then you'll be done. Y'all, when I walk with Christ, it costs you something. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we miss the mark. Sometimes we don't make it, but we don't quit because there's another cone coming. Amen. I don't know where you are today in your walk with Christ, but essentially, we're all running this 550 meters together, and God is blowing that whistle. Can you hear it? Coach Pruitt would walk across the track encouraging me. You got it. Come on. You can do it. You got it. One more. You're almost done. Can't you hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? You got it. You can do it. Just a little bit more. Keep on going. You're not by yourself. I got you. Greater is he that is in you. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Can you hear God speaking to your heart today in your run with Christ? Coach Pruitt would say, you have to run this so you can finish strong. And that's the last point today. In order to run to win, you got to finish. When the Lord takes my last breath and I finish my race, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. You've been faithful with a little. Now I'm going to make you ruler over much. Enter into my kingdom. Well done. But we're not there yet. We're still running. Amen? Amen. Keep running. Keep running with Christ. Keep fixing your eyes on Jesus. Take inventory and be honest with yourself. Renew, recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And if you do not know him, today is your day. Remember, the Bible says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today is the day of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Are you willing to die to yourself and live unto him today? No better time than the present. Today is your day. Run to win. Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand together. Y'all are so wonderful. God is faithful. We're going to pray together. But before we do, I want to open up an invitation. For those who do not have a personal relationship with the Lord, today is your day. If you want to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, come forth. We have pastors that will meet you upstairs, downstairs. If you're a friend and somebody wants to come down but they're afraid, why don't you bring them? We all need a Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Today is a day. Do you believe? March of 1985, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. My life has never been the same. I live with him both now and for eternity. Or maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Scott, I want to just renew my commitment to Jesus. Come on. You may be here and you say, I just want to pray. Here's the altar. It's open. We'll pray with you if you want. Come on. Maybe you want to be baptized. Maybe you want to join the church here at Prestonwood. We welcome you. If that's you, come forward. A public profession. We'll meet you right here. If you want to know Jesus, you want to pray, you want to recommit your life, you want to be baptized, come forward. We have a team of pastors and ministers that will meet you here. Father, we do thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your deliverance. And Father God, I pray you would speak to the heart of every man, woman, and child that's in this place today. Father, we remove every hindrance. We bind the enemy. Father God, from keeping anyone, we're walking closely and knowing you as our Lord and our Savior. We thank you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.